The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It is Wednesday, the 1st of December. Glad you are here. 866-660-5759. Here's how the planning goes. Governor Abbott with us. Holy cow, how great is that? And that is at 8:20. So I'm going to throw you a couple of minutes of some wonderful stuff here and then take the break early and come back and have Governor Abbott. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. Borders and COVID and getting a chip factory for Texas and protecting our kids from the insanity of gender extremism. We're going to do all of those things at 8:20. Okay, sounds good. 866-660-5759 for your thoughts anywhere in betwixt and in between. And last night on Hannity, Dr. Oz announces he's running for Senate.
I really spent a lot of time trying to understand what went wrong. And the mistakes are emblematic of other issues that we're struggling with in our great country.
Talking about our errant ways in terms of COVID mismanagement.
Remember the phrase 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? That metastasized into this incredible authoritarianism, overreaching, that did not necessarily make us safer. People with yards, big yards, told people with no yards to stay indoors. That's where the virus was. Remember, they closed the parks, they shamed people about beaches, right? And now they're threatening the same overreach for the Omicron as you were just talking about. I think those choices should be yours, the American people's. And I have fought to empower my audience, my patients, and now the voters of Pennsylvania. And I've taken on big pharma. I've gone to battle with big tech. I've gone against agrochem companies, the big ones, right? And I've got scars to prove it. And I cannot be bought, Sean. Cannot be bought. And I'll keep fighting those battles to empower the folks of Pennsylvania and around the country. So here's what I'm hearing from my patients, from my viewers, from people all over the country. There's three basic goals. The first is we need safety, right? And safety in our body means high quality health care. That's got to come. But on the streets, it means well-trained police. You know, there was a college student murdered this week. It broke the all-time record of 501 murders in Philadelphia, where I am right now. Shameful. We got safety problems on the borders, too, which is basically, and the narrative is false. It's about cartels trafficking human beings and it's successfully being done, so they keep doing it. And they're bringing opiates along the border with them. That's 100,000 people who've died this year from opiates. And we're not making it hard because we're letting everything come across the border. The second thing everyone's telling me is that they want their kids to thrive. They want their kids to do better than they did. I certainly want that for my children. The only way to get there, the path to success as kids, is getting them educated. So you need choice, so you can actually make sure that you can take kids to where they need to be. You need local rule. Why wouldn't you be involved in figuring out the curriculum of your kids' education? And you got to have your values defended. Your parents and the teachers' values and the kids' values need to align, or else the parents win because nobody loves the kids more than the parents. The third thing everyone's asking me about are jobs. And I'll tell you, it's interesting. Jobs are about dignity. They're about purpose. And they're also about savings, which are being eroded now by inflation. But this is why I'm excited, Sean. The prognosis is good. I think, and a good example of this innovation, is when President Trump had Operation Warp Speed that gave the world the mRNA vaccine, right? And I don't like mandates, but that was a big advance. And America did that. We have that can-do spirit. And America has other great solutions, but we're suffocating them. I'm running to ensure that they see the light of day. I know we can do it.
Dr. Oz running for Senate in Pennsylvania. Call me intrigued. Let's see what happens. All right, intrigued at the prospect of a long sought after chat with Governor Abbott. He is with us next, so don't get out of the car. Mark Davis, 8:14.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party. Mistletoe.
Might as well go to a girl with some Texas origins, the great Kacey Musgraves and her cover of Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, a little Texas artist as a segue into our Texas governor, our friend Greg Abbott on the phone. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
I am doing great. Had a great Thanksgiving. How about yourself?
Absolutely great. In fact, let's go back a couple of weeks before that. I spoke of our shared birthday, so late happy birthday there. Actual same day, November 13th, 1957, so late happy birthday. And you know what? Unfinished business there, because I just, as if that's not coincidental enough, the First Lady of Texas also, correct? November 13th?
Exactly right.
Man.
Exactly right. So we were all separated at birth.
Yeah, well, that was exactly right. And she's on a different year. But happy birthday, happy Thanksgiving, and Merry Christmas to you. Okay, look, here comes the holiday season, and here comes winter. One supposes it's going to be almost 80 degrees around here. So it's a weird time to talk about the grid. But there you are 2 days ago saying, I believe the quote is, "I promise the lights are staying on this winter." So tell me about that.
Sure. So the actions that were needed to correct what happened with the grid, they have been fixed, they have been addressed, and they will work. Let me give you a slight caveat here, and that is, as far as the Texas power grid is concerned, it's going to be able to withstand whatever happens this winter. Your local power company that delivers the power, they may have their own unique problems with a transmitter or lines going down, whatever the case may be. That is not part of ERCOT. That's not part of the grid that the state delivers. On the grid, however, just very quickly so your audience will know, this is what has happened. We reformed both ERCOT and the PUC, put new leadership in there. The fact of the matter is some bad decisions were made during the winter storm, and the people who made those decisions, they are now gone, and they're making new decisions that are better decisions, one of which is they are creating more power generation. We have 15% more power generation today than we did at the time of the winter storm. There's winterization already in place for all the power generators. You may see the news that came out yesterday where the Railroad Commission is ensuring that winterization is going to occur for those who transmit natural gas through the system. I've been talking to a lot of these power companies to make sure that they are going to be winterized. They are going to be able to provide the natural gas that supplies most of our power plants, and they will be able to. But Mark, I got to tell you that the most important difference now than before the winter storm occurred is the approach that ERCOT has taken, where they are being proactive as opposed to reactive. The decision-making process was bizarre in the sense that they would wait until a crisis occurred before they took the action that was needed to respond to that crisis. That's the absolute wrong way to approach something like this. So what the ERCOT is doing now, they are working days in advance to summon the power that's needed to generate electricity to make sure that the lights stay on.
Governor Greg Abbott is here talking about being proactive rather than reactive. Let's go to the borders, where we have this disconnect of a president with bad policies. And here we are, a red state, a Republican state, a conservative state, trying to balance out with good policies. And especially in the heat of the campaign season, tons of attention as to what have you done, what have you not done? National Guard, State Guard, DPS. Give us just the short paragraph on what you would want everybody to know that you've done during the Biden border crisis to do what any governor can do to balance out those bad policies.
You know, as we're speaking right now, we have 10,000 National Guard and Texas Department of Public Safety officers on the border, and they are preparing for these caravans that are coming in. They're laying down any type of barrier they can. Some of it is these massive containers you see on 18-wheelers. They're laying down razor wire that's used in war to make sure that enemy cannot get through it. And they're putting it right there on the border, on the water, so that people cannot come across the water and come into our border. They're also making sure that we are going to have the personnel needed to repel anybody who is trying to come across the border. But also, I got to bring up to speed on this. As you know, Texas is building our own border wall. I signed the document to initiate the process back in June, just 5 months ago. This is something nobody else knows right now. So this is the first I've said publicly. And that border wall begins going up this month. You will see the wall up this month.
Where?
It starts in Starr County. We've identified hundreds of miles, and we have a way of doing it a whole lot faster than Trump was able to do it. We will be doing it about 2 years faster than Trump was able to do it, because For one, we're starting on state land that we already own, so we don't have to acquire it. And then there's so many people who live on the border who are so angry about the Biden administration and their open border policies. We have had land hundreds of miles donated to us by landowners that we're still doing all the paperwork on, that we will be building a wall on their property in key areas along the border. And so we are getting that border wall built. But let's go back to where you began, because you talked about the chaotic open border policies of the Biden administration. Remember this key point, and it concerns this election, and that is someone who was far to the left of Joe Biden on these open border policies is Robert Francis O'Rourke. He was even more pro-open borders, and so Americans and Texans can now see exactly what Robert Francis O'Rourke stands for in his hostile to Texas. Last thing, Mark, I got to tell you, I was down at the border last night. I was in Mission, Texas. The Hispanic community in Mission, Texas is up in arms about these open border policies, and as angry as people may be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're even angrier down on the border, and they want that border secured.
It was like seconds after we got the official Beto Robert Francis O'Rourke announcement that you were just all over Twitter essentially trying to hang Biden around him. I invented a hashtag, Beto is Biden. The same reasons why Biden is struggling is the same reasons why the platforms of Beto O'Rourke just doesn't seem to be his time or his place in this coming governor's race.
So it's kind of bizarre, and because of that, he's trying to remake himself. But just go back to the presidential campaign where issue after issue after issue, he was to the left of Biden. He was on the progressive Ocasio-Cortez side of Biden. And it concerns not just the border, it concerns the Green New Deal, it concerns defunding the police, whatever the issue may be. Every position he's had, including taking your guns away, he is hostile to the values of Texans, and he's very dangerous for Texas. And we will go out and ensure that Robert Francis O'Rourke loses 3 straight elections.
And that will be November. Before we get to that, there's that March 1st primary, 3 months from today. And obviously, every once in a while, I get a chance to talk to Don Huffines and Alan West, and they're just busting your chops every day. Do you pay no attention to that? Do you pay a little attention to that? What's campaign life like for you in terms of the daily headlines?
Well, campaign life is actually the same kind of regardless of who the opponent is. I'm going to give you an analogy here. My favorite topic is football, and that is, you got to focus on what your goal is during the game about how you want to score touchdowns. And so we have goals we want to achieve, and our goal is to focus on achieving those goals. And it doesn't matter if who's running the primary. It doesn't matter if Matthew McConaughey is in there or Beto O'Rourke is running. Our goal is the same, and that is to achieve certain goals along the way. And if we do that, we know we're going to win.
Are we done with special sessions? Is the legislature done?
So, Mark, the reality is we're never done with special sessions. There's always an opportunity for a special session. It just depends on the circumstances. And so a special session can be called anytime, any day.
Well, here's the thing. So a few months ago, we're talking about the war on our kids and gender, and you write this wonderful letter to the Department of Family and Protective Services asking the commissioner to say, look, these gender surgeries, I want you to identify those as child abuse. That letter comes back. That's awesome. It's incomplete. We need puberty blockers, chemical castration, even the counseling that tells your 10-year-old son it can be your 10-year-old daughter. Those need to be made illegal, too. Why has that not been in a special session? You told me it wouldn't pass. Every Republican I talked to says it would. Let's settle this. Let's put that in a special session. Why not?
Well, as you pointed out, on the letter that was issued by the head of the Department of Family and Protective Services, that they are, for your audience, that's the state agency that is in charge of child abuse, and they define and determine and investigate and prosecute what is child abuse. And what they have come out and said, and that is any type of genital mutilation is child abuse. I don't think anybody can disagree with that. And so they are both investigating and prosecuting. And for all I know, you may have talked about what happened with what is going on at UT Southwestern and about how they ended a program. I think in part because of this letter that was issued by the Department of Family and Protective Services. And so you get to the other point that you say was incomplete. Here's what you may not know, and that is a letter was already prepared by the head of the Department of Family and Protective Services concerning things like puberty blockers, all those other items that you talked about. Mm-hmm. And it was being delivered to me on the day when a request was made for an attorney general opinion about the whether or not that was going to be lawful or not.
Right.
And so this letter is ready to go. It's already been written up.
What's the holdup?
When an attorney general opinion request is made, yeah, it just kind of holds it up.
So do you need? I got Paxton on tomorrow. Do I need to ask him about this? Is there so? What does he need to do in order to have these things either become illegal by executive order or to get the legislature to make them illegal?
So yeah, what he will say is whether or not it is legal or illegal, and we are ready to issue the letter. The letter is written, and it's good to go, unless he says that what DFPS wants to do is illegal.
Is there any universe in which you see Ken Paxton saying, nope, we cannot outlaw chemical castration or puberty blockers?
I do not.
Then we should be, then the goalposts move a little bit. So maybe within, this seems like a solution that could come the same way as the letter did outlawing the surgeries or saying the surgeries are wrong.
And that's exactly right. So the way this works is he has 6 months to get that out, and we're going to be approaching that date here pretty soon.
Well, I will ask him about that tomorrow. If that doesn't, if by some hook or crook that doesn't happen, can we give this to the legislature so that they can pass a law and make it illegal the way things are usually made illegal?
That's always a possibility.
All righty. Well, listen, best of the holidays. Merry Christmas. If we don't talk in the next couple of weeks, I know we will early in 2022. Busy times. Always appreciate your time, sir. Thanks very, very much.
Thank you so much. Take care.
That is Governor Greg Abbott. Mark Davis, 831. Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. Okay. Sometimes the talk show gods smile in ways that have somebody appear on the show at a certain time or something that arises that we get to do. Sometimes the talk show gods smile in the form of somebody who needs to reschedule. That's what's happened right now, and it's awesome. Our buddy Jason Miller, longtime Trump aide, who's the guy behind Getter, a social media site, we're going to move him to tomorrow because he needed to move to tomorrow, which is awesome. Here's why that's awesome. Because after our chat with Governor Abbott, I have a few things to share. Well, let's just move directly into content, shall we? So Governor Abbott was on the program, and it's always great to have him. And we had a lovely time, and he was able to cover a ton of the reasons why he has a massive lead among Republicans bearing down on the March 1st primary. So from borders to running against Beto to we scored a chip plant in Taylor, Texas. Didn't get a chance to talk about that, but that's what that was about, is we have a chip. Everybody says we need to have chip plants in America. Got to have chip plants in America. Well, indeed we do. And we're going to have one in Taylor, Texas. So how awesome is that? So there are all kinds of things that are going his way. And what's the thing that I've said about Governor Abbott with these massive leads, and that is that we are like one grid failure and one bad legislative special session away from his vulnerability. Otherwise, there's just no vulnerability. I don't know if we're going to have grid failures. It appears probably not. The legislative sessions have, by virtually every conservative measure, been successful. Heartbeat bill, constitutional carry. I mean, these are things that have been on the conservative wish list for a really, really long time. And so as we got down to our last couple of minutes, I absolutely had to get to the notion of protecting our children against this radical gender-bending agenda that is making its way across the land of late. And it was some months ago that Governor Abbott wrote this letter to the commissioner of the Department of Family Protective Services to identify gender transformational surgery, where you actually carve up a child in order to make that child a sex that he or she is not. That is child abuse. Anyone with a brainstem knows that this is child abuse. So that letter was written, and it would seem that that would have the force of law as a policy in Texas. Now, there's really no substitute for actual legislation. My favorite thing is actual legislation. But listen, if it's things that we're going to enforce, things we're going to say we're not going to have in Texas, okay. I mean, it's the bottom line that counts, right? So I sought a similar bottom line for things that stop short of putting kids under the knife. Things like chemical castration, puberty blockers, dangerous, evil drugs pumped through the veins of our children in order to thwart them away from what God himself made them. And then even counseling, even the notion of a counselor. What in the name of God in heaven is in the mind of a mental health professional with a shingle hung outside the door who will welcome a confused 12-year-old boy and nurture that child into becoming a 12-year-old girl? That is malpractice of the highest order. That is child abuse. And in today's twisted land, it is standing up against that that makes you a hater. It is saying no to that that is somehow identified as being against that child's interests. This is how perverse our society has become. So as a state, we have the power and the right to do whatever we wish in light of this landscape. And what I want, and what I dare say a majority of Texans want, is for every single bit of this nonsense to be made illegal. All of it. Carving a child up to change sexes. Looks like we got that box checked. I asked Governor Abbott, why not? In the special session, let lawmakers, and from Matt Krause to Jeff Leach to all these other folks we talk to all the time, they all say we would pass that in a heartbeat to make chemical castration, puberty blockers, this ridiculous counseling, to make every single bit of that illegal. We would pass it. Governor told me some months ago, there's no way that it would pass. Well, guess what? Let's find out. And if he had told me that again today, I'd have said, look, you say it won't, they say it will, let's put it to the test. It would be of enormous political benefit to him as governor, because he would be a mighty warrior for gender normalcy. And if it did not pass, if the next best thing to having something pass that you want to have pass is learning who kept it from passing so that you can take appropriate action against any Republican who dared to oppose these laws. So it either passes or we learn a little something, don't we? So I wanted the legislature to have it, and you know what? I still do. So today, a new bit of information. Governor says that somebody's asked for some attorney general's opinion. Like, can we do that? Who says we can't? By what logic can we not do that? Is there some constitutional precept that says that we absolutely have to permit chemical castration of our children? Is there some rule of law underpinning that says that we must allow puberty blockers when you can find doctors and parents evil enough to ply this upon to our children? What fresh nonsense is this? But look, if the governor says we need an attorney general's opinion before we proceed and give that to the legislature, okay. Guess what? I asked Governor Abbott, is there any universe in which you think Ken Paxton is going to say that we can't do that? He said, nope. So we're going to find out. Because guess who's on the show tomorrow at 8:35? That would be Ken Paxton. Guess who's been on all week long? That's everybody running against Ken Paxton. We had Louis Gohmert on Monday. Listen to the podcast, 8 o'clock hour for that. We had Ava Guzman yesterday. Listen to the 8 o'clock hour podcast for that. George P. Bush is on with us in 20 minutes at 9:05. Oh, I'll ask him about this and a bunch of other attorney general related things. And tomorrow at 8:35, amid all the political stuff that's obviously raging in a primary season, primary is 3 months from today, woohoo, March 1st, I will ask Attorney General Paxton, is there anything he will do to stand in the way of the legislature getting the opportunity to outlaw chemical castration, puberty blockers, and gender change counseling. If he says, and listen, he may say, I got to look at it for a little longer. I don't know. Whatever his answer is, we'll take that at face value. But if he says, no problem, I'll write that at lunch today, boom, there we are. And at that point, the ball goes for the whatever time back into Governor Abbott's court. Because then there will simply be no more excuses, no more stalling, no more delays, no more reasons not to do this. To give the legislature in a special session, governor said, we can have as many as we need. Guess what? We need one. Maybe for some other things. I don't know. But surely for this. Because in the state of Texas, it must be made illegal to chemically castrate a young boy. It must be made illegal to pump puberty blockers into boys and girls to thwart the process that naturally informs their maturity. And it must be made illegal for any twisted, perverse mental health professional. I spit at the thought of using that term for such a person who would sit down a confused young boy and say, tell you what, you need to be a girl. Or sit down a confused young girl and say, well, I got the answer. You need to be a boy. May God protect us from these people. And may our government protect us from these people in the state of Texas, where such laws are a practical and moral necessity. So no more. No more. We'll talk to Ken Paxton tomorrow. He'll either tell us, yep, I'm going to do it. No, I'm not. Or I need a little time to chew on that. No problem. I will remain on this and I will not rest and I will not stop asking questions and I will not stop the push until in Texas we are no longer grotesquely abusing our children on the altar of gender extremism. This evil must stop. It's 8:48. After you do this for a while, it's not really mind reading, but you can channel people. I'm going to write for you a Don Huffines tweet. Just, I am steeped in the intrigue of primary politics, and just having Governor Abbott tell us about how he needs some attorney general's letter, and we got to get thumbs up and the okay on whether or not we can have chemical castration and puberty blockers and gender bending counseling made illegal. Maybe it's already been posted. I don't know, because everybody is listening to the show these days, for which I am very grateful. But maybe Don or Alan West, whatever, will say, listen, I don't need no attorney general's opinion to hand this on a silver platter to the Texas legislature to make this nonsense illegal. I ain't waiting for hoops to jump through, thumbs up from anybody, attorneys general, voices in the sky, anything else. If I'm governor, it goes to the legislature today. It would have already. So I don't know where the caution comes from. I don't know where the hesitancy comes from. Of course, please, rule of law means something. The Constitution definitely means something. I'll tell you what, if there is some doubt that laws against chemical castration, puberty blockers, and gender-bending counseling would, survive a court challenge, guess what? Bring it. Bring it. Give it to the legislature. They will pass it. Sign it, and then dare anybody to sue us. As Governor Abbott and Attorney General Paxton are fond of doing, they're suing the White House all the time, suing Biden every day at lunchtime, for good reason. Well, maybe if somebody wants to sue us back, let them. Make our day. We in Texas are going to make this nonsense illegal. And anybody that wants to stop us from doing so, we will see you in court. We're going to be proactive and not reactive. We're not going to jump through 15 hoops and fill out 147 forms. We're going to pass this thing. And let's see if that happens. And again, Ken Paxton with us tomorrow at 8:35. Governor Abbott said the letter, another magical letter, is ready to go. Okay, let's see that thing take flight. And that would be a letter from the Department of Family and Protective Services that says not only are gender surgeries child abuse, so is chemical castration, so are puberty blockers, so is the gender-bending counseling. We will see what happens. All right, 8:57. We're going to hit our top of the hour. We got some SRN network news, and Gordon Griffin will deliver you the majority of the remainder of the news diet. And then I'll tell you what, how about we're welcoming everybody this week who wants to be Attorney General. Paxton's with us tomorrow. Louis Gohmert was with us Monday. Ava Guzman yesterday. George P. is with us at 9:05. And by the way, we can't ignore the Congress. Senator John Cornyn with us at 9:35. So we ain't in nowhere close to done. Glad you are here. Thanks for hanging out with us on this beautiful Wednesday, the first day of December. Ah, Texas winter. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.